So this morning, chose the psychic mental magnetism energy. Like begets like. And early on in divine science, fundamentals, one of the very earliest things I remember being taught was to remain open-minded to other terminology that would have the same meaning, that it is only to our benefit. So we're not just kind of stuck with, well, this is the only way I hear it, and I don't hear it any other way. So in this truth, when I hear something like the psychic mental magnetism energy, I immediately realize this is like begets like. Like attracts like. This is that magnetism, the law of attraction, the law of expression, always working. But it comes down to, what is my magnetism? Is it positive? Is it negative? Because it's not going to stop working. It is always working. It's not like, well, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. That is like saying sometimes I breathe and sometimes I don't breathe. It's a principle. It is part of how we function. It's part of how, and I mean on such a much deeper level than what the five senses just see here in the earth and what's around us. I'm talking on a very deep, infinite level of our being. These principles are always at work. And so the more I get to understand how they work and what I can do to govern these principles, the more I want to know. So divine science had taught me very early on, remain open-minded to the many terminologies that will speak the same truth. And then take the time to see what's being said. So I really took a liking to this. And, you know, on a very simplistic level, being Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody, Adele and I once again, which we've been doing for many years, went to the boathouse in Central Park. And we got there half an hour early, and they sat us down right away. And once again, we had Clay, our waiter, who's been our waiter every year except for 1 year. And it's a 1 out of 8 chance that we would even get him, because there's 8 different stations, and he's always working in a different place. And we've sat in all different places in that area every year, and every year there's Clay. And he's wonderful. It wouldn't be the same without Clay. Now, last year, Mary Emma joined us. Clay was our waiter. And sure enough, they sat us right at the end. We come in, and there's Clay over there. And I look at him and I say, hey, I said, your station? He was like, yes. So, and I don't take even these simple things for granted. There is a magnetism that is going here. And even he got it. I said, I said, whatever the cosmic thing going on here is, it's wonderful. And he gave me a hug and said, God bless you. You know, he gets it. And he's an interesting individual. I'm not going to go on talking about him. He's a very interesting person. As we sat there, as New York is New York, the people that sat next to us, rather close, after a while, an older couple that, I can't say that too much more, an older couple, but an older couple sat down next to us. And it turns out they've been coming to New York for the last several years because she sings in a choir. And they perform at Carnegie Hall over the Thanksgiving weekend. And so we're sitting there and we're talking about everything and talking about where Adele used to work at Lincoln Center and this and that. And she says, well, I'm originally from New Jersey. We were from South Carolina. We're originally from Jersey. She goes, and I grew up in Bloomfield. I grew up in Bloomfield. And I said, we just sit there and we're like, whoa. So we start talking about a bunch of Bloomfield stuff. Now, these are little things. Because you see, this principle just works. It's not like, well, I could only ask for something big, great, and wonderful. No, it could be something in just a nice conversation with another human being. You see, it just is. It's not this big or that big or this small or that small. It's just infinite. And it's always at work. And it can be experienced everywhere, any place, in any situation. And I don't take these things for granted. This attitude of, and other ways of saying it would be, well, you've said your prayer, now go live it. Don't wait for it. Go live it. Now, living it may be doing the work I need to do in order for the prayer to truly make manifest. The prayer to be answered by going and doing it may be the goal that I must now seek and experience and learn. Remove whatever negative stuff is blocking it and learn how to live vibrantly in that which I'm asking for. I can look back and see that there's been times where I've asked for prayers, but I was not ready to live it in these positive things. I didn't know how to. I wasn't able to show up. My state of mind, my emotional stability would not permit it. So how could it happen? It's not like it's going to take it all away. See, that's the beauty of this. We are children of God, so we do the work. We go forth like a free spirit that God is, and we learn. And it's in this learning that things come to be. And a very good point I can make is that just recently, one of my students, just a week ago, she had lost her nephew, 20 years old, in a car accident. And she had some very deep questions, and she said she couldn't go on to the next lesson. She's taking fundamentals, she's on lesson 5. And she couldn't go on it but without running by some thoughts with me. And some of these were thoughts that people ask. Why did this happen? What was his state of mind? Was he producing negativity that brought on such a thing in his life? And why would it be in the condition of the effect of a car accident? And how is it when I had such negative thoughts when I was younger, of which I had very bad thoughts, that something like that didn't happen to me? Now, these are very heavy questions, especially if you're starting to look at this stuff. And you really get caught up in, like, what I would call the black and white syndrome of it all. See, there's a lot of gray area. We just don't get up and work it perfectly. See, without going into duality, when I will say this, it is the perfection of imperfection, which is also the imperfection of perfection. You see, in other words, I work it imperfectly, but that's not duality. It's just a word we use to say that I'm learning. I'm a child of God. I tend to think I'm more in the image of the Heavenly Father than I used to be, but am I truly of that image? Am I truly Christ-like as Jesus? Not yet. Am I living in that and practicing those same things? Absolutely. So there's this perfection. There's even a book called The Perfection of Imperfection. And it has a whole lot of wonderful spiritual stories from all different faiths in it. And my point was, that as I was getting to her to make, is look at the flip way of this. Maybe when you were struggling deep in some stuff, your imperfection was that you had some, perhaps a few positive things on an unconscious level that prevented that from occurring in your life to that drastic means of a death of that sort. And of course, she also pointed out that, of course, death is not death. She realized that it's just an ongoing, life is just an ongoing infinite realm filled of many dimensions, or if you wish, it's a God is quoted as saying, or in the Bible, that God has many mansions. But there's still that, how come? So I pointed out that we don't know what we're going through, especially when going through it so recklessly. What's another word? The hullabaloo of it all, you know? They go through it like that. It doesn't mean we're not coming up and working it at times, but we're not being conscious of working it. So it may have been in the worst of times, something positive was very well at work. I think of my own past and how negative it was and destructive it was. And I think of how many people died and I didn't. How come? Well, something inside me was still searching for the truth. And I know that now. No matter how bad it got, something inside me was looking for that divinity, but I didn't know it. So maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't need, as I pointed out there, I don't need to keep turning over all the rocks of my past and looking at everything. Because after all said and done, all the self-inventory that I've done on myself and all that work brought me to the place that I needed to realize only one thing. Live in the light. And live and learn living in the light. I don't need to understand the negativity or, if you want to, the evil. I don't need to understand it at all. What I need to understand is what I can learn living in the light. That's all I need to know. Because if I'm going to start going into the duality of it all, then I want to understand the negativity. I want to understand the evil of it all. The shadows. I don't need that. It will not help me. So all that self, all that inventory work I did on that plane was just to get me to a place where I could say that I just need to walk in the light and learn. I start in this infinite moment, right here, right now. I am in the light. I am receptive. I'm open-minded. I want to learn. And I truly want to go in this. And I have to watch it, because like I said, I realized this negativity at one time inside me would pray for something, but I was not ready to receive it, because emotionally, mentally, I couldn't accept it if you tried to force it on me, even though I wanted it. I just wasn't in the frame of mind to receive what I was asking for. So I had to get right with that. And so the more that I can live in the light, then the more that I'm encompassed in that. And one of the most basic ways of doing that, and vitally important, is meditation. Light meditation. And deep meditation, but definitely the light meditation, where I take the time to be still, to clear things, to realize the light and the beauty and the goodness that I am of. And to put away the stuff that's interrupting it. To take the time to just acknowledge this beautiful goodness that we all truly deserve. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about those struggles deep down inside that come up with, oh, I don't deserve it. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, I'm not worthy of it. Oh, I don't have the education for it. Oh. I've walked right out of the light. I mean, the light's still there, but in consciousness I've walked right out of it with all my cannots. You know, how am I going to live in the light and receive the light and have fruitful experience made manifest in the light when I'm slamming myself with a whole bunch of cannots? It won't happen. It just won't happen. We have to do the work. Might get an occasional jump start, but we have to do the work. And so the beauty of it, you know, when Jesus... And I'm going to paraphrase, I don't want, I'm not going to reread this, but one of the most beautiful things, if you look at all this reading where he talks about, he says, where he does say, or else believe me for the very works. I love it, because he's talking about the Christ. So he's not saying you have to necessarily believe in me, but believe in the words I speak, for the words I speak come from the Father. Believe in the Christ within yourself. If you don't want to buy it from me, buy it from within yourself. And I love that. Because that's just the humbleness of it all. That's not putting somebody or something on a pedestal. That's not somebody wanting to be put on a pedestal. That's not someone who wants to be the king. Or anything more than just a child of God who is so receptive to the word that when he opens his mouth it comes through beautifully and perfectly. So, you don't have to believe in me, but believe in this truth. And as we go forth in all this, it really comes down to, since we have to do the work, then, okay, what do I do? Yes, I can do the light meditation, but what will help solidify that? If that's a word. It now is. I mean, if it's not a word, I just mused on it. So now it's a word. I just verbalized it. So, by doing that, to give me the ability to do these things that will absolutely work. And that's what's so important, is having practices put forth that we can get up each day and actually do. That was my first big attraction to Christian metaphysics. The first time I went to something of this nature, I walked out of the place feeling like I had tools in my hand and I could go do something with it. And that's why I came back to this. If I had walked in and got the same old negative stuff, I would have left and never came back. So, what I want to talk about a little bit, and this is just passing on some of my current studies on this thing called mental magnetism. The psyche, mental magnetism, energy, which when we talk about psyche, I'm not talking about reading minds. I'm talking about that Christ awareness, that essence of knowing that if I'm in Christ's mind and I go forth, then all is well. It's to knowing that so well that it goes well. That kind of spiritual psyche. Not, in fact, in these studies, they'll even say that the reading of minds, they think, is more of a primitive version than of a spiritual psyche, where you don't even need to read nines. You don't need any of that. You just know all is well, and you go forth in this absolute truth. And of course, the mental part is I'm of the flesh, and I am receiving things in thought, and I will put things out because of my thoughts. So the mental part is involved with me as a spiritual being because I'm also of the flesh. And the magnetism, again, is the like begets like. Like attracts like. So whatever I'm magnetically putting out there through my soul, it's going to come back. Absolutely. It will come back. So, a few practices that I was came across regarding this. And you probably recognize all of them. At least most of them. It's not necessarily new, but we're going to put it right out here, really, right in this moment. Maintain a positive mental attitude during your daily activities. I've heard several of you share your stories of how you do that and the results you have from it. And so that's inspiring when you start doing that, to start doing it more. It becomes the attraction to it all. So, do not accept a negative condition. Don't accept it. You might have to work things out, you may have to go through, but again, stay in the light. Learn from the light. Don't try to understand the negative condition. Just don't accept it. I'm of the light. I will go through this. Nullify negative thoughts as soon as they enter your mind. Don't allow them to return unchecked into your subconscious mind. Because once it's in the subconscious, you're going to practice it. So be conscious of those negative thoughts and nullify them as quickly as you can. Regard your every thought as a telepathic magnetic energy. Do not take any thoughts you have for granted. Take them very seriously. Realize how powerful they are. How much not only will they affect you, but they will affect the others around you. So regard every thought as a telepathic magnetic energy. Don't talk negatively. Don't get caught up on that. It's so easy to do. It's real easy to do. Casual conversations are notorious for negative conversations. People will build up an image of you. Oh, even though they're just as negative, they'll build up an image of you that's what you talk about and that's what you're into. And so they'll automatically have that magnetic attraction to you, vice versa, and they'll pour it on you immediately. They'll pour all that negativity out to you. Choose new friends who have a positive mental attitude. Like attracts like. When communicating with others, make only positive statements that lead them to mentally accept and view you not only as a nice person, but as a winner. Think about it. Some of the kind of person always comes around you and is like, yeah, this is great, and you're that's wonderful what you're doing. Well, look at all this great stuff that's going on. You're not going to go, that guy's a loser, right? This is not going to happen. You're going to be like, wow. And I like what they're saying about me. Take each day to program your subconscious mind with positive thoughts. And that comes from meditation. It would be light meditation that several times a day can just stop for a couple minutes, even 30 seconds. Or a deep meditation, but to have a habit of it. So that you can program. This. You see, this body is like... It's like the spiritual self is the spiritual, but this is almost like a computer in a sense. You can program the mind. You can really, we feed it lots of stuff, you know. You can program it and put in what you want to put in and take out what you want to take out. It's really very useful, the mind, how it works like that. So program it each day so that the subconscious receives positive thoughts. Program your mind to believe and accept that what you wish to achieve is already yours. It's already happened. What God has already supplied, I shall not want, I shall not need. It's already there. Let me harness it. Let me become conscious of it. Let me allow it to be so aware of it that I make manifest with it. Live, act, and above all, think and feel like a person who already has that which is desired. Live the personality that acquires such things. Go forth as the winner that you already are. Go forth as that true blessed child of God, that you have the kingdom already here working through you. Allow that to come through you. Allow yourself to explore what's happening by doing that. and be positive about it. Because it's all positive stuff, so it's not something you have to fear. You're exploring something wonderful and beautiful and positive, so you can explore it in a positive way. You know, to figure it out. You can trip over it, you can make a few mistakes, but it's all positive stuff. You see, making a mistake is not a positive or negative thing. It's part of the exploration. It's part of the discovery. It's part of getting to know yourself better. It's okay to make mistakes. Nothing wrong with that. To take each day to practice deep meditation and light meditation. This is what really truly removes all this stuff, because we can go through life a shoulder to the wind, you know, with clenched fists, getting things done and getting lots of things done, and yet never living in this. Never living in it. Because we're really made quite well. We can survive to like unbelievable levels of struggles. So we can do a lot of things and even achieve things, but never have lived in this. Or perhaps some of it's working, we're not conscious of it. See, the more we're conscious of it, the more we can govern it. The more we can govern it, the more we are in the image and likeness of the Heavenly Mother Father. Because the universe is not haphazardly made. So why should I haphazardly succeed? And the beauty of this is the fulfillment of God's love and grace and peace and wisdom and joy and compassion is so immeasurable that it truly is more meaningful than anything I achieve. That's first in my life. Makes all the rest of it just the icing on the cake, the extras. The stuff that's purposeful to me and meaningful to me. That stuff. Because if all I'm doing is living in truly in the image and likeness of the Heavenly Father, that's fine too. The rest is just wonderful. It's me, my imagination, my creativity, my work, my purpose that makes hanging around on the planet Earth okay, or nice, or great. But this is the stuff that needs to come first. This is the first things first. This is how like begets like in the positive realm of Christ mind. Because like begets like will always work, whether in a negative way or in a positive way. It's not a part-time thing. We don't turn it on or turn it off. We don't have the ability to turn it on or turn it off. It's life. It is how life is created. So, with that, let us have a closing prayer. And we just simply give thanks for how well we were made. We give thanks that we have been given permission to have complete authority in how these principles work through us. And these laws work through us. We have the right to govern them. We are children of God. We are beautiful. And we are whole. And we are never ending. And the love is always with us. And so it is. Amen.